From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. 3 years ago on this program, we met a teenager with a chance to leave his troubled childhood and neighborhood behind. It was not an easy decision. Jesse Jean was 17 years old, living with his grandmother in Washington, D.C. Her basement apartment was a hub for late-night drinking parties. The street corner where they lived was an open-air drug market.
When we met him, Jesse had been offered a scholarship to a private boarding school in New England, despite his poor grades. He had mentors who believed in him. They had made the arrangements. At first, Jesse didn't want to leave his neighborhood, but he finally gave in.
I just looked at it as something like I needed to do, because it wasn't, by me leaving here, I wasn't missing anything here, so I was like, I might as well have anything to lose.
Jesse Jean's neighbor in Washington is producer Katie Davis. She's kept in touch with him as he's struggled with school and a new life. This spring, his senior year, she went to see him and has this progress report.
Go back. Back to a Saturday afternoon in late August 2001. History teacher Heather Cavalli was outside the boys' dormitory at Hyde School in Woodstock, Connecticut. An airport taxi came up Route 169, past the cows, past the hay bales, and turned onto campus with Jesse Jean in the back seat.
He was all by himself and kind of pulled out his bags all by himself and had this big backpacking bag and this other bag, and I kind of came out and helped him bring him in and got him set up. And I just felt really bad that this is somebody showing up with no parents, and I kind of watched him kind of face this, oh my God, what am I doing here, kind of thing.
On that day, Heather Cavalli knew bits of Jesse's story, that his parents died when he was little, that his grandmother didn't pay much attention to him. She knew that his two mentors, Tony Husted and Terry Ellison, were desperate to get Jesse away from his home and the hopelessness there. Jesse said little that first year, just sat back and watched. He slipped through the halls, head down, the way Jesse did back home. Walk past the dealers, don't look. Curiosity brings trouble.
I speak to people, but I'm very much like secretive. Like, I stay by myself. Like, if people want to come and chill with me, they can come and chill with me. But, you know, I'm very much very so happy, like, by myself, you know. Just chilling, like, shooting basketball or whatnot. Just, you know, focus on what I need to focus on, not focusing on, like, the whole school as a whole.
The football field was the one place Jesse never held back. He was quickly chosen as JV quarterback and ran the drills with confidence. Teachers at Hyde started poking at him. You're a leader on the football team, Jesse. Be a leader in class. Eric Kelly was assistant dean then.
You know, if Jesse says, listen, guys, we're going to knock this off and we're going to do work, then I believe it'll happen. But if Jesse's going to make fun or, you know, joke and sort of take things less seriously, then that's how the class will run. He's not the only student like that at the school. We really try to find those, we call them spheres of influence, that kids will fall in one way or the other.
It bugged Jesse the way everyone kept at him. After all, he was going to school now and doing his homework. Maybe he joked somebody always wore a tie, never broke the rules. All this leadership stuff, why did they keep pressing him about it?
People like that get under my skin. I don't know why, but it's just people like that cause me to react a certain way.
People like what?
It's like making it seem like I'm the golden child of the class, or I want it both ways. Like, I want to joke around and then I always want to be serious. And I'm like, that's not me at all. That's one of the main things that make me frustrated about how it's like, they give you like this big old plate and they just keep on overloading it. And sometimes it just, I don't know, just gets at me.
On and on it went. We see greatness in you, Jesse, but only hard work will bring it out. Hyde is known for its character education, and their method is the full court press. Every teacher, every coach, even the seniors come at a kid with the same messages. One teacher told Jesse, you recognize the secret code of kids who've had it hard. It's your destiny to help them. Jesse was just trying to get through that first year. Sometime in the winter, Jesse began sending notes to Christina, a classmate, little comments and jokes. Christina says it started when Jesse learned that she'd spent much of her childhood in an orphanage in Russia.
Like, I never knew my parents, and, you know, I was an orphan for 7.5 years, so I felt abandoned. I guess he feels that same feeling, and, like, we just connected like that. I mean, different stories, different backgrounds, but similar feelings about our past. I mean, there was definitely no emotions, though, involved. It was kind of like, yeah, I relate to you, and we left it at that.
After some time, Jesse told Christina this story, a story he kept from almost everyone.
I, you know, lost my parents when I was 2 to violence. My dad killed himself, didn't kill my mom. You know, this happened while me and all of my siblings were present in our house, and, you know, I didn't understand what was going on, so I was only 2 years old, so.
The words can get confused when Jesse tells the story today. Bits and pieces do come back. He was in the room with his parents' bodies after the shooting. No one came for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it was rough, you know, growing up without parents, you know. But in my neighborhood, a lot of people didn't have parents, you know, so and it was sort of like a, we were there for each other, you know. But, yeah, it started, that, I mean, that's how my life started out, man. And I didn't understand, you know. Sometimes I still have a hard time understanding, you know. But I think I'm getting better at understanding and really believing in something beyond myself.
Come forward now to January 3rd, 2004. It's winter break. Jesse's a senior, 5 months to graduation. He was voted most valuable player in both varsity football and basketball. He lives with his mentor, Tony, and her husband, Edwin, in Alexandria, Virginia, a move that happened after his grandmother died 2 years ago. His other mentor, Terry, comes over often for family meetings. This one is to choose where to apply to college.
Before you go back to school tomorrow, Jesse, we need to get the applications for all these, and we have applications for many of them. We have to fill them out as much as possible, and we have to include checks.
It's noon, and Jesse has folded his 6'5" frame into a kitchen chair. He pops a soda and looks around sleepily. Jesse's sense of humor wakes up a few hours after he does, something he wove into one of his college essays.
This is my college application, and it's titled, My Sense of Humor and I. Given some of the violent actions that have personally happened to me, including witnessing the violent death of my parents, some people don't expect me to have a sense of humor. Life would have been a lot harder for me if I allowed my past to alter the person I've become.
Tony says that essay will work for every college you want to apply to, except for one. You'll have to write an extra essay. Jesse slouches and sighs. Writing comes hard for him, and this college stuff, it seems endless.
Which one have you liked?
Virginia, Wesleyan, and Catawba.
Those are the two schools you like the best?
Yeah.
And what made them stand out above the others?
I don't know. I mean, I just... It seems like the... Both of them seem like the kind of schools that, you know, weren't too big, weren't too small, and felt like I can, if I needed help, I can easily go out and seek that help.
It's surprising that Jesse's ideal college is a place where he'll be known, a place like Hyde. Terry says, whoever knew we'd get to this point?
I mean, you know, there was a time where we didn't think that we, you know, that he'd get out of high school. So now to be looking at actually probably some choices around colleges is just, it's fascinating, and it is what should have happened for him.
The final list has 13 colleges, and the work is divvied up. Terry will send out videotapes of Jesse passing 60 yards as varsity quarterback. Tony will complete the financial aid applications, and Jesse's job is to write an extra essay by tomorrow, his last day of break. The next morning when Jesse came down for breakfast, Tony asked, when are you going to write that extra essay?
And he looked at me with anger in his face, and he said, I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it.
You know, and she's like, really? She's like shocked because, you know, I was like, I don't feel like doing an essay right now, so I'm not doing an essay. You know, because I was frustrated, I was tired. And she's just like, oh, really? So well, if you're not going to do an essay and I'm not going to help you, I was like, fine. I've had enough anyway, I'm tired.
And when I say not going to do it, I'm not filling out one of these applications. You can figure out how to get into these schools by yourself.
Tony went upstairs and called Terry. Jesse left and went to his old neighborhood. When he got home, Jesse apologized, and he wrote the essay. Tony and Terry say, "We are no longer Jesse's friends. We are his parents. The tantrum over the essay, that's normal, and that's all we ever wanted for Jesse." There is a nagging worry. Will the colleges that Jesse wants to go to take a chance on him? Last fall, while visiting a campus, Jesse turned to Terry and said quietly, "This would be easier if I had better SAT scores." Over the past 3 years, Jesse grew more and more frustrated academically. He was working hard, and his grade average stayed at B- to C+. There was always so much he didn't know, and Tony says it made him doubt himself.
At one point, I sat down and I said, "Do you realize why you have these handicaps in school?" And he said, "No." And I said, "What we got from your grandmother and what we got from your school records was that you witnessed the murder, suicide of your parents, and you did not speak for several years to anyone but your sister. And because you did not speak for several years, when you started school, they put you in special ed for emotionally disturbed children." And then, you know, within a month or two, you started speaking, but they did not take you out of special ed, and you spent 8 years of school in special ed for that reason alone. And your records show, and your teachers, especially the ones we talked to, felt that you should not have been in special ed. Well, when I told Jesse that, his face, I almost can't describe his face. It was as if the biggest weight had been taken off and the biggest realization, shocking realization, had happened to him, because he really had never heard the story before.
Jesse says, "I just want to be on the same level as the rest of my generation." And he adds, "I am getting there."
All right, since Jefferson owned slaves and Locke...
It's mid-February at Hyde School.
Evaluate Jefferson and Locke's ideas about equality and liberty. Write your response, keep your pens moving with whatever comes to mind.
When senior ethics class began, teacher Mark Dewthorne says Jesse was insightful in discussions, but he totally bombed his first test.
I was afraid that he really would have a hard time passing the course because we do very difficult material. And he was in my office, and so I said to him, I gave him an analogy. I said, if you went to the gym one night after you'd finished your homework, and let's imagine there are three basketball courts and there are three teams practicing. There's Hyde's JV team, there's last year's championship team, the varsity, and then there are these guys from UConn who've come over here who, they didn't make the UConn squad, but boy, they're really working hard on, you know, trying to make it for next year, and they're scrimmaging on a third court. I said to Jesse, which court would you go to? And in a flash, he said, oh, I go to the UConn guys. And what I said is, in class, you know, I asked him, who do you sit with? And he looked me square in the eye and he said, I sit with the JV students. And that moment was the moment everything changed for him academically. He then deliberately would sit next to the best students, and then they would talk with him. And the dialogue itself has really helped Jesse blossom as a learner.
Jesse received the school award for most improved student.
Hey, that's my first academic award at Hyde, so that's good.
Besides studying, Jesse has several daily jobs. Seniors help run the school. 6:13 a.m., Jesse's up. At 6:15 a.m., he wakes up the students on his dorm wing. His room is pure order. Bed corners tucked, shoes lined up. This makes him a tough dorm inspector, which he does at 7:15 a.m. By then, Jesse is in a white shirt, bleached and ironed, and a silk tie.
Ross, why isn't your bed made, man?
Ross tries a you-know-how-it-is smile.
Why isn't your bed made?
Being in charge of the boys' dorm suits Jesse. Certain people need more help with cleaning, he explains. Several teachers say Jesse's almost part of the faculty. Go to Saturday morning performing arts class, and Jesse is told, this is Scott, he's new. Stand next to him and make sure he sings. Jesse stops teasing his girlfriend, the daughter of a former Hyde headmaster, and goes over to the new kid. He leans into him. Follow my lead. I'll show you how we do the banana song.
Peel bananas, peel, peel bananas, peel, peel bananas, eat bananas.
Jesse goes all out, waving his arms, stepping in a circle. The new kid starts laughing and singing. Go, bananas. Go, go, bananas.
You seem so much more relaxed to me. The last time I was here, there was a kind of an undercurrent of frustration and feeling like your plate was too full and you were it was making you sort of angry.
Yeah, that's definitely true, you know, but once you've been here for a while and you learn the ropes, I mean, you know, things, you work with the faculty, so things are a little bit more relaxed than it's sort of like paying your dues, you know. When I got here, I wasn't happy to be here. That was obvious, you know. And, you know, after a while, after I've been here, you know, you kind of like figure things out. It's not that bad. Not that bad.
What would you say was the most surprising thing or important thing that you learned about yourself here?
What's the important thing I've learned about myself? You know, I have a lot to offer to the other people. That's been huge. Just understanding that, you know, I have something unique that I can spread onto other people has been very, very helpful. And I've also learned to accept, you know, help and other things from other people.
Every time Jesse comes home, he visits 17th and Euclid Streets, where he grew up. He sits on the steps of his old apartment, and his little cousins climb on him, and his older ones fuss over him. He plays ball down at the playground court, and he always stops by the teen center, where he first met his mentors. About a year ago, Jesse popped into the center. Nigel Akunabi was leading a rap session, and he says Jesse took it over, telling his friends there are no handouts, that only hard work would change their lives.
Because a lot of guys use excuses or whether it's I'm a young black man and it's hard. And Jesse just came with this incredible story about, you know, just out of the blue, you know, my mom and my dad is gone, you know, like tragically murdered, you know. And I'm still here, you know. When I come back to the neighborhood, I feel like I haven't missed anything. You know, it was kind of, as soon as he says it, he's like looking you in the eye, man. It's almost like a big brother or maybe even a father figure for some of his friends, you know, because he's obviously made it in the hood. He's still credible. He's a good guy, you know, and he's taking care of his responsibilities. So how can you knock that? You can't.
One of Jesse's oldest friends, Jeremiah, was there that night. Jesse knew he was becoming a thug, riding in stolen cars, assaulting people, carrying a gun. Turn away from that, Jesse said. Make a change. And a few months later, when Jeremiah was offered a chance to go to a boarding school out west, Jesse was asked to talk to him again, this time to close the deal.
I was just like, man, you're not missing nothing around here. You know, you got an opportunity. If you don't take it, you're an idiot. Yeah. And it's going to be hard, because it was hard when I first left. You know, you don't want to do it. Okay? You don't want to give up some of the things that you have. You just don't want to do it. You know, but that came at a pivotal time in Jeremiah's life, and I was just like, man, you're going, man. You need to go.
He told me them things, and that really stuck to me, because I saw that, I mean, if a young man like him went through all the stuff he went through and still making it, what about me? I mean, why can't I do it, you know? Now, why can't I, you know, try to follow in his footsteps, you know, do as he did or better, you know? Do what I have to do.
After their talk, Jesse took Jeremiah shopping for the things he'd need at a boarding school, sheets and towels. They spent the night together at Jesse's house, playing video games and talking, like they'd been doing since they were boys. Jeremiah is about to mark 1 year at the boarding school. And here in the neighborhood, we are making lists of boys we want Jesse to talk to the next time he comes home.
Katie Davis lives in Washington, D.C., where she produces the ongoing series Neighborhood Stories.
Jesse graduated from Hyde School on May 30th.
Jesse Jean is graduating with honors.
And in keeping with school tradition, he gave a short speech before accepting his diploma.
When I think of my childhood, I see myself about 9 years old, and I'm watching the older guys play basketball in my neighborhood. I want to follow in their footsteps. In the Washington, D.C. public school system, I struggled through junior high school. I went to the local teen learning center for tutoring help, for fun, and to stay out of trouble. Things started to change when late one afternoon, on a cold fall day, I met two women, Tony and Terry. They saw something in me, this great potential that I did not see. Today, standing here, I have faith in myself. I've learned to value my personal standards of respect, honesty, and responsibility. I'm open to whatever is next for me in my life. I trust my inner core and my morals. This summer, I have a job as a day camp counselor in my old neighborhood. I will go back to the basketball court and play ball with the guys. Now, unlike that 9-year-old boy, I understand the rules of the game. I understand the future is up to me. I will make my own footsteps. Thank you very much.
Jesse Jean will attend Ohio Wesleyan University in the fall. You can hear the first story about Jesse and also see pictures at our website, npr.org.